you need some way to push content. An RSS, email, any kind of subscription. So Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, right? These are all ways to push content to someone who wants it and say, hey, I have something new for you. But then so you start to look at, okay, are they all created equal?
Welcome to Level Up Your Course, where we pull back the curtain on what it takes to create learning that transforms lives. You will hear stories from business owners like you who share their success and their struggles. This is not where you come to hear passive income myths, friend. This is where you learn the truth about building a profitable learning platform. I am your host, Janelle Allen, and this is today's episode. What's up, everyone? It is Janelle. I am here today with Nathan Berry, founder of ConvertKit, and someone that I have been wanting to speak with for a long time. I'm really excited to have him on the show. We're here to talk about his journey as an entrepreneur and the power of email courses. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So, like I said, I've been wanting to interview you for a while, and I was just talking to Justin Jackson, and your name kept coming up. So I'm excited to dig into some stuff. But first, let's get to know you a little bit, because I realize I don't know much about you. You live in Idaho, correct?
Yeah, I live on a farm in Boise, Idaho.
Nice. And are you born and raised in Idaho?
Yep. I grew up maybe 45 minutes outside of the city, up in the mountains, and went to school at Boise State. Dropped out after not that long, so I didn't last very long. But yeah, we have a lot of family here and Boise's home. So nice. Traveled a lot and I'll always come back to Boise.
Okay, cool. So we have a tradition on the show called the Rapid Five. Five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, paper books or audiobooks?
Can I answer both?
Both,
for different
really?
Purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like right now, I'm reading Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way as a paper book. And I like that. But then I'm also listening to Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership. Mm-hmm. And so I like having both. Nothing beats sitting down in a comfy chair, particularly if it's in the sun when it's wintertime now, like it is, with a physical book. That's just the focus and attention is great.
Yeah.
But then the audiobooks are just so good for the car. And I love the fact that I just get in the car and I'm immediately, you know, being told how to be a better person and better leader by a Navy SEAL. So, you know.
Okay, I get it.
Both.
Modality, I get it. Okay. Number two, how do you feel about squirrels?
Squirrels. Indifferent, I think.
Okay. I love asking that question because city folks and people who maybe live in more rural or suburban environments have completely different answers. So indifference, got it.
There you go.
Number three, what is your favorite condiment?
Relish.
That is a first for the show. Relish,
really?
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Number four, what is one myth about entrepreneurship that you would like to obliterate from the face of the earth?
It'd be around overnight success. I think I always get frustrated with that. My favorite thing to do when people point out the overnight success stories is to then immediately point out the decade of work that went before it.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, as you stay focused on these things for a long time, then good things will happen. My friend Sean McCabe talks about show up every day for 2 years. And that's like for everyone starting a blog or courses or whatever else. Like if you do that, if you're creating every day, then you do it over a long period of time, then you're going to see results of some kind or you're going to pivot and learn. And I think everyone just has too short of a time horizon. So.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay. Well, that's a great segue into the next question, which is what is the hardest lesson you have learned as an entrepreneur?
I'm not sure. Like I always think about it taking longer than you think, but we already kind of went with that one. So there's a bunch of others. There's a lot of things that come up in the entrepreneurial journey. Like it's just always take longer, but it's just always harder and more painful and yet somehow more rewarding. And so I think that I don't know when I learned this lesson, probably slowly over time, but it really just being all about the journey rather than the destination. Because if you're focused on the destination, then you're going to suffer through a lot to get there and maybe it'll be worth it, maybe not. But if it's about the journey, then you're able to enjoy the process and see the value in the pain and the frustration, because it's always there. Like, this is one of the more painful years of entrepreneurship that I've ever had, but it's also the most rewarding. And so those, the pain and the growth go hand in hand, and you're always going to have both of them. And so stop trying to look for the time that it's just easy.
Yeah. So that was the not so rapid, rapid five. I'm just sitting here like nodding my head, because interestingly enough, I've been having a lot of conversations around the pain of entrepreneurship and the journey and the need to face it and understand that, you know, something I said recently to my list is that it's never going to stop. You're never going to not have moments where you don't have problems. Like, that's the point. You know, you go through problems so you can figure out how to solve them and grow. And when you get to that realization, I think it's really powerful when you start to see entrepreneurship differently, especially if you started out focusing on the destination. There's a pivot that happens with your mindset. So I'm really glad that you said that.
Yeah.
So tell us about your journey, and how did you become the guy who founded ConvertKit? Because you started with iPhone apps. That's when I first heard about you. What? Tell us about the journey.
Yeah, so that means you've been following me for at least 6 years, probably. So I got started as a web designer back in high school. A girl that I dated showed me GeoCities and how to write HTML, and I fell in love with it. And so, you know, being able to create things on the web was pretty special. And that gradually transitioned into web design, building web apps, working at a software company as a designer. And then when I left that, I moved into iOS and web apps. So in 2010, when the iPad came out for work, we had an app out on the App Store the day the iPad was released, which was really fun. And it just kind of transitioned from there into learning design to, okay, now I'm going to start a blog teaching design. I started to become really a big fan of, in those early days, everyone from, of course, the Jason and David at Basecamp, and more well-known people like Tim Ferriss, but also other bloggers like Chris Guillebeau had a really big impact on me of, hey, earn a living as an independent creator. You know, this is how you build a blog. This is how, you know, if you teach, you can earn from that. And so just kind of developed from there. I wrote a couple of books on designing iPhone and web applications. Those did really well beyond my wildest dreams. And then I wrote another book called Authority, which is all about building an audience and self-publishing. And then from there, I realized that, you know, the most successful channel for all of this was email. And so I was using MailChimp and starting to get really frustrated with it. So then that's where ConvertKit was born. And it's been almost 6 years now.
Yeah. You know, I remember seeing Authority and when, I think it was around the time when you were very focused on building your audience. And I remember reading articles from you about just how you had this aha moment where email, you realized email was a super powerful channel. Right. So what is it about email that makes it so powerful?
What stands out to me is when you compare it to all the other channels. So first, the most important thing, and you get this with a lot of channels, is the ability to push content. So in a traditional blog, if you're a fan of my work, then you're going to have to remember to check, hey, didn't Nathan publish an article this week? And or this day. And that totally can work, because I remember for years, Chris Guillebeau published an article every Monday and every Thursday. And I would go check and be like, oh, it's Thursday. Let me go see. Yep, the article is out. You know, or sometimes I'd be like, come on, Chris, it's 9 a.m. Like, get the article out. Where is it?
Yeah. And RSS was a big thing too. RSS readers.
Yeah, RSS was a big thing, right? So you need some way to push content. And RSS, email, any kind of subscription. So Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, right? These are all ways to push content to someone who wants it and say, hey, I have something new for you. But then so you start to look at, okay, are they all created equal? The first place I always look is, okay, if I'm pushing content out through this channel, who are my neighbors? So if you think about it on Facebook, if I'm pushing out content through Facebook, my neighbors are, well, they're like political posts, their other people's kids, their vacations, that kind of thing. And so then here I am with like, here's how to grow your business. Here's how to grow your audience, like this training. And it's right in there with like a bunch of other, you know, the big debate that you're having with your, you know, I don't know, racist family members or something like that, where you're just like, no, this is not where I want to be. And so if you go to email and you think about, okay, who are the neighbors? Then it's things like, you know, one of your coworkers saying, hey, could you get this done for me by Friday? It's a family member saying, hey, by the way, here's our Thanksgiving plans coming up. And like the quality of your neighbors is much higher. And the other thing is, instead of being just a feed that goes by, most of us have this expectation that we deal with every email we receive, whether it's a bulk archive or a response to every email or something, you deal with all of it. Whereas like on Twitter, for example, if I go away for a week, I just log back in and I don't pick up where I left off. I pick up at the current place and I might scroll back, you know, 10 hours worth of tweets or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to engage with every single one. So the engagement is way higher. The mindset of the person reading it is way better, because this is just already a category of, this is where at least moderately important things are. And then that's why email performed so much better. I ran a lot of experiments about the difference between email and Twitter, and I found that email would drive 16 times the engagement by the time you factor in open rate and click rate and all that than Twitter would.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a huge fan of email myself, and I want to come back to that later on, because it's something that I hear people express a lot of resistance about, especially if they're just getting started, you know, just like getting over that hump of starting your email list, making it and understanding the value in having a list in the first place. So I want to talk now about this core value of yours, teach everything you know. Why is that important to you?
Well, so it's, I guess there's two parts to it. The first is like just purely how to get results. So many people in the early days, as I was starting to write Authority, and you know, talk about these ideas of, hey, anyone can grow an audience. And they're like, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're super famous on the internet. And I was like, no, I literally have 1,000 email subscribers. I don't think that counts as, that doesn't even count as internet famous, let alone, you know, actual famous. But putting it down to a formula of some kind of, if you teach and share, like that's the difference. That's the only thing that separates the people who are reading the blogs from the people writing them. And it's just that, hey, I learned this thing today. Here you go. Versus someone who's like, I learned this thing today and it's staying in my head or in my notebook and never going out to the rest of the world. So the first part is just like a simple tactic of, that's how you get attention, is you teach. You really have two options. You teach or you tell stories. Either of those, and actually the combination of the two, is kind of the magic way to get attention. But the other side for me is more personal, in that early on in my career, as I was thinking about writing my first book, I wanted to write a book about designing iPhone apps so that I could get more business and more consulting work designing iPhone apps. And so there were these two designers, Sasha Grief and Jared Drysdale, who had self-published books about design to small audiences. And then they wrote about the process and included exact revenue numbers and everything. And so from that, from reading their posts, I learned not only the tactics, but I learned, oh, wow, I can make a living self-publishing to a small audience. I knew like the big names could do it, of course. They've got 50,000 subscribers or more. But I was like, wait, someone with a couple hundred subscribers or 1,000 can earn a living from this? And so through them teaching, it inspired me and gave me the next steps. And so then I've always had this, I guess, kind of pay it forward mindset of, that's why all of my revenue, both from my books and courses and ConvertKit, it's all totally public because of those two things.
So one of the things you said there, just going to play devil's advocate for a moment, because I know the resistance that people have when they're just starting out. They feel like you said, well, of course, Nathan can teach everything he knows and be transparent. You know, he's got the numbers and he's got the audience and it's going to, you know, it all looks so impressive. For someone starting out who has a really small audience and maybe their revenue numbers aren't where they want them to be, do you think that it still works and it still applies? And if so, how does one get past that resistance to share when they're not where they want to be yet?
Yeah, I think we have to go back to what we talked about in the, you know, our rapid fire questions of, you got to know that it's all about the journey, not the destination. So if you're like, hey, once I get to $10,000 a month in revenue, then I'm going to share. Or once I get to whatever it is, I don't know, someone would be like, once I'm a millionaire, then I'm worthy to give advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever obstacle we put in our way as, you know, we come up with some even more ridiculous sounding ones. But if it's all about the journey, then go on the journey with people who want to do that with you. So first thing is, if you want to start teaching, identify what journey you're going on. And it could be literally anything. It could be, hey, I'm going on a journey to lose 20 pounds. And I'm going to tell you the stories and share my experiences and teach what's worked for me along the way. Or it could be, I'm going to try to learn to code in Ruby on Rails. Or I'm going to try to build a blog or anything else. I love woodworking and projects like that. So I follow a lot of blogs and YouTube channels where someone's like, hey, I'm going on a journey to build a tiny house. And so I say all this that to make the point that the journey you go on could be anything. But if you're going to do that, then invite people along. They'll give you accountability, encouragement, and then, you know, ultimately they might support it in some way, either through clicking on ads or giving attention to your sponsors or buying products. So the first step is just identify, okay, what's a journey that I want to go on? And then to make the commitment to just share your experiences as you go and to do it for a meaningful amount of time. Because so many people are like, I'm going to go on this journey to start a blog. Oh, wait, after 6 weeks, I realize this is actually hard. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm out.
Except they don't ever say goodbye. It just like tapers off. And that's it. And so the more you say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do it by, the better. Like when I started ConvertKit, I didn't know the first thing about running a SaaS company. I knew a little bit about designing one. But I said, hey, I'm going on this journey. At the end of 6 months, I want to have $5,000 a month in revenue recurring from the software product. And I didn't hit that, but a bunch of people came along for the journey and that, you know, kickstarted a business that now does tens of millions of dollars a year. So it's about the journey. And if you get clear on that and then just be open to share the ups and downs along the way, you'll get there.
Yeah. That's great advice. I just commitment, I think, is one of the key takeaways there. So I want to come back to email and email courses. How were you using email when you first had that aha moment of this is the most powerful channel? And then when did you transition or when did you start creating email courses?
Actually, my very first use of email, I don't think I've talked about this very much publicly, is I started a curated newsletter called iOS Design Weekly. Hmm. And basically it came about as I was learning to develop iPhone apps. There was this newsletter called iOS Dev Weekly, started by a guy named Dave. And I emailed him and I would every so often send him like design articles that I had found that were useful and be like, hey, you might want to include this in your... And at one point he emailed back, he'd always say thank you and often include them. And then at one point he's like, hey, you should start your own like design-focused iOS newsletter. And I was like, no, because I'd be copying you. And he'd be like, you have my permission. Go start iOS Design Weekly. And so I did, and you know, I ended up building up an audience of 700-800 subscribers of people just getting a weekly curation of iOS design tips and articles. So that was my first experience of just seeing like, wow, you can actually build a relationship with people and they're engaging and they're clicking every week. And then whenever something comes up, like whenever I had one of my own articles to promote, I was like, oh wait, I can just put this in the list with everything else and just give a little call and say, hey, by the way, I also wrote this article, check it out. And so being in that position of, I don't know, I was going to use the phrase being a kingmaker. That's too big and bold, but it's along those lines of like being able to take something and just because you talked about it, it's now moderately successful. And that's what email does for you.
Yeah.
So I started really simple with that. I also found that it was really easy to get people to sign up for email lists. It might be harder now, I'm not sure. But of just like posting on Twitter and sharing other places and saying, hey, like with a coming soon page, hey, I'm writing a book and it's called The App Design Handbook. Here's where you go to sign up to learn more. And like I would share that and like six people would subscribe. I thought, okay, that's cool. And then if I linked to it at the end of a blog post, I'd get 25 people and it just stacked on itself in a way that other channels didn't.
So then transitioning to email courses, and explicitly, instead of sharing articles or thoughts that you had, explicitly focusing on teaching through email, how did you make that transition and why did you make that transition?
Yeah, I started to realize that, or I started to really become enamored with the idea of special content just for your email list. I was saying, hey, yeah, there's great stuff out there on the blog, and that's for attracting new people. But let's have a different relationship with everyone who has made this investment. They haven't paid anything, but they're a part of my work. They're a fan, all of that. And so that's where I started. And I kind of stopped just linking to a blog post and instead started doing custom things just for the email list. Whether it was another story or just a little more behind the scenes or the full article. But then it was when I really saw the value. Actually, the first email automation that I set up was a sample chapter. So it was like, download the sample chapter. And then it was a series of emails getting you to come back and buy. And it was all through the concept of teach everything you know. And so that was just a great place to start, of putting all that in the email, delivering value and getting people to come back and buy. And that's effectively a simple email course.
Yeah.
Now, the much better email course that I did later was realizing, oh, this is a great way to actually get more subscribers. So subscribe to my newsletter is okay as a call to action, or be the first to hear when the book comes out. That works too. But what's better is writing guest posts, and then where the additional value is in the email list. So I wrote this post for Smashing Magazine titled How to Launch Anything. It was 4,000 words long, and it was all about product launches, a topic that I've been moderately obsessed with over the years. And at the end of it, it didn't really make sense to link people to authority and say, hey, go buy my book, because they just read my stuff for the first time. And I don't think that the site I was publishing on would have gone for that, because that's awfully salesy. Then on the other end, it's like, subscribe to my newsletter. No, that's kind of lame. There's no value in that. Follow me on Twitter. That's not going to do anything for me. And so instead, what I did is I put together a full email course that was like 80 emails long called Mastering Product Launches. And it was basically like, hey, you got the introduction in the post, but now over the next month, I'm going to like teach you at least the intermediate version. And so I put that at the end of this article. The folks at Smashing Magazine were totally fine with that, because they're like, hey, it's delivering more value for free to the people who finished the article. And their site was popular enough that I ended up getting 1,000 subscribers to that email course in the first day from a single guest post.
Wow.
And then I think I topped out from that one article about 3,500 email subscribers. It'd be interesting to go back and look, but I bet there's probably over 25,000 in revenue, you know, over time, just from that one post to email course, because it was so effective at gathering subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone listening, you just dropped a lot of gold nuggets there, because it's not just that you're using email courses, but also what you said about, if you're guest posting, the importance of having a call to action that adds value. And I just love that example. So for anyone listening, please, please heed what Nathan is sharing with you there. But you also touched on something that I want to come back to, where you were going through the decision of, okay, what should the CTA be? Should it, you know, be Twitter? Should it be my newsletter? That connects to another question that I have, which is, why are email courses, in your opinion, more effective than, say, or do you think they're more effective than, say, a PDF download? Like, what do they allow you to do that a download doesn't?
Yeah, so I always want to think about, what are we training our subscribers to do? And there's a couple options. Say, if you go with the PDF, then you're training them that the value is in the download or in the PDF or wherever else. Put in your email address to get this other thing. They're happy to do it. But the value is in this other file that they have. Now, with an email course, you're actually training them the opposite, that the value is in the emails. And so you're saying, hey, pay attention to the emails, because that's where the content is. And so then when it comes time for you to promote something, right? Because there is this balance of, I'm going to continue to teach, but I am going to want you to take action. And I'm going to do that through an email. And so what I'm saying is, here's 5 emails that's just great free value. And then here's one where I want you to go do something. But because I've trained you the values in the emails, you're paying far more attention and you're likely to take action. Than if I'm telling you that, hey, the value is somewhere else and I'm just sending you these emails only when I want to sell or promote something.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, I've never thought about it this way, but it also attracts a different type of subscriber. I noticed that myself when I had, you know, when I first started Zen Courses, I created a guide, basically a chart for different course platforms. And I noticed, actually, I take that back. The very first was an email course. And then I transitioned to the guide, which was just a PDF chart. And I noticed the subscribers changed. It switched when I switched to the chart. It became people who just wanted the free download and wanted to learn about platforms, but weren't as engaged. And just talking to you made me think about that a little bit differently. Like, okay, I can see how that definitely could have been traced back to that decision. So going back to something you said about emails being actionable, how have you been able to, or have you been able to implement any tactics to make your emails more actionable when you have an email course?
Yeah, the first thing that I do is I ask people to reply. It does a couple things. One, it just helps deliverability because Gmail and others are looking at that and being like, oh, well, they must have wanted this email if they replied. So it's like a vote higher than, you know, just an open or a click as far as engagement. But the other thing is it builds that connection with the audience. Because if you say, hey, hit reply and let me know what you thought of the article or what you're struggling with related to this or whatever else, they're just more engaged. And then, you know, you go through and reply to each one. That's great. We used Chris Guillebeau as an example earlier. He sent a personal email to every single person who joined his list up until he got to 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
And so you think about those first 10,000, they're not just following like some random blogger who, I don't know, has some tips about how to travel or improve their life. They're following Chris, someone they know. And someone's like, oh yeah, I was reading this guy, Chris Guillebeau, blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, I know him. Well, I mean, I don't know him, but we've talked online. And that's like a different thing than saying, I also subscribe to his newsletter. It's just a different kind of relationship. And you can have those relationships at scale. And so I think about my newsletter, there's a lot of the same, you know, 20, 25 people that respond. And then, you know, and when we have conversations over email, it hardly takes any time. But then they're more likely to come to my conference, to buy ConvertKit, all these other things. And they're just also the first ones who will give me feedback on stuff. It's just fun to be able to have that kind of relationship at scale. And email is so good at it.
I agree. I love it. It's, you know, building. I remember when Chris shared that he did that. And, you know, it was something that influenced me when I started my email list, even before Zen Courses, was just to reply to folks. And you'd be amazed. I've literally had people say, wow, you reply. And it just changes the narrative, you know, and it helps you to develop the relationship, build champions, really, who champions of your brand, champions of you, but also just establishes a human connection. I think a lot of people struggle with how do I do email? And that's just one small thing that you can do to begin to build a community. So definitely am a big fan of that.
I think that it also is important to talk about list quality and not just list size. Because I often think about, and I might still do this, I kind of took a break from blogging for a while and would write a post every 3 months or so. And now I'm back in the habit of, you know, writing every single week. And now I'm along the lines of like, I kind of want to just delete my whole email list and start over again because I want the really high engagement. Like I used to have 40, 45% open rates and now it's down in the 20, 22%. And so I'm like, okay, let's clean the list. Let's get it down to just the people who really want to be there. So I always encourage people to think about their list size as the open rate times the total, which would be your engaged list size. Mm. So if you have 10,000 people and a 20% open rate, you've got an average of 2,000 people that are really engaged. Think about it that way, because then you're not tempted to do things like, hey, let's go do a contest to try to get 5,000 more subscribers really quickly.
Yeah.
You're really thinking about how do I get the right subscribers? Or if you do get everyone from the contest, maybe you don't add them to your newsletter right away. Maybe instead you say, hey, thanks so much for signing up for the contest. Here's who won. If you want more content like like this, then go subscribe. Like, you actually add barriers because you're trying to get not the highest number of people, but the most engaged people.
Yep. Pay attention to engagement. It is definitely, I am a fan of pruning my list, and I probably have done it a little bit too much, to be quite honest. But I've noticed a definite improvement in just the quality of who's on my list and how engaged they are by making that shift. So I want to talk about your framework. You know, when it comes to, this is something that you shared years back of just how you structure email courses. Can you talk a bit about that for people who might be listening and just wondering, where does Nathan recommend I start?
Yeah. So are you referring to educational content versus a pitch?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's talk about using email courses to pitch a product.
That makes sense. So the first thing is understanding that different people who come into the course are going to have a different level of experience with you. And so if you come in and in email 2 or something, you're like, hey, you can go buy this course, ebook or whatever else. They're going to be like, dude, we just met. I'm not interested. What are you doing? Unsubscribe. Or they'll see, I'll stick around and see if they deliver some value.
Yeah.
And so you got to build some trust first. The way that you build trust, it's actually pretty simple. It's you just teach. If you educate and they learn from it, and some of your stories and humor and style is weaved through it, then they're going to trust you more. And so then I like to have at least 4 or 5 emails that are purely educational and trust building before I even mention a product. And then I might say something like, if you want to learn more about this, I do cover it in my book, Authority, you know, check it out, like in a PS message or something simple. So I'm mentioning it to them and letting them know that, that exists. And then you might go back to a purely educational email. And then after that, have an email that is actually asking for the sale. Because people go wrong both directions.
Yeah.
They either sell too hard, or they also are like, I don't understand why people are buying. And I'm like, all right, let me see your email course. Where do you pitch them? And they're like, see, in this PS message right here. And then there's that one link in a sentence there. I'm like, okay, you didn't actually make a compelling case as to why someone should buy your product. And so you need to have at least a couple emails, say over 10 emails, I would have 2 of them be, no, seriously, this is why you should buy it. And just be totally upfront about that. The whole email is dedicated to making the sale. Because you're a creator, you deserve to be paid for your work. And that's how you're going to be enabled to create the next thing and do it in a sustainable way. So you got to ask for the sale.
Yeah, that's so true. It's something that a lot of people struggle with because there are a lot of people when they start out, they're not comfortable selling. And I've been there. I've had to learn how to get comfortable selling. But at the end of the day, the thing that helped me is it was a mindset shift and understanding that I'm delivering value. And also, you know, just because this is how my brain works, if people don't want to buy, they don't buy. Like asking right. A yes or no question or decision, you have to be equally prepared. You know, it's not going to kill you if someone doesn't buy. That really is an opportunity for you to figure out why. Was there an objection that you didn't address? Could you have provided more value? There's so many variables to the decision, you know, and maybe it just wasn't for them. Maybe it's the wrong set product. You know, it's not product market fit. There's so many variables. So I really don't want people to get discouraged just because it doesn't work out their first swing at email courses. You know, it's a process.
One thing that I'd add to that is if you're doing things like tagging everyone who's purchased, which is kind of a fundamental thing in email, then you can have an email in your course that says, hey, why didn't you buy?
Yeah.
Not in an accusatory way or anything like that, but just I'm doing a little customer research, trying to understand positioning, messaging, and all of that. And I'd love to hear from you. Just hit reply. Why didn't you end up picking up the course?
Yep.
And you'll get some great responses. And people often be like, oh, I totally meant to. I'm actually just waiting for whatever thing or, you know, something else. And so you actually make some more sales. But then you also get people saying like, you know, I didn't think it was for me. Looks too beginner compared to where I'm at. Looks too advanced, whatever it is. And you'll just have great conversations.
Yeah.
And know to tailor your content.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is everyone who did buy, they got excluded from that email. So you're
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. You get so much data when you ask that question. I've grown to love asking that question because, you know, you're going to either find out that there's another product that you can create that fits a different segment, or you're going to get more sales, or you're just going to get more information that maybe you can use in your marketing to address objections. It's just such a good question to ask. So, well, Nate, this has all been very insightful as to how you have used email in your business. Are there any downsides to email courses? Like, is there anyone that email courses aren't a good fit for?
It's a good question. I think that there are definitely some industries that email is not as common. Or maybe if you're in a non-business space or targeting a really young audience or things like that, then you might be better off growing your audience on YouTube or some other channel.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have something to sell, or there's definitely those segments that, hey, it might not be as good of a fit for. Of like, maybe you should be an Instagram influencer instead, or like just focus on a more natural channel for who you're trying to go after. But generally, I mean, I'm pretty biased in that I run an email company and I built my whole career and audience through email. So it works pretty well and highly recommend trying it, because even if you build an email list, say to a couple thousand people, and that project that you were planning to use it for shuts down, well, then you can actually just reach out to those people and say, hey, by the way, I'm not doing that project anymore, but go over here to follow me for my next thing. And some portion of them will. So you kind of always have that relationship, even though some people may drop off.
Yeah, absolutely. Nathan, we're down to the final three questions. The first one is an easy one. Anything exciting coming up for you?
Yeah, well, so we're coming up to the holidays. That's fun. There's a lot of fun family things going on. My wife and I are going to go to a Cirque du Soleil show Monday. So in 4 days or so. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And then there's a ridiculous amount of business stuff that's exciting, but it's not as much fun as the family side.
It's not as much fun as Cirque du Soleil. That's
right.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
So I write every Monday at nathanberry.com. There's a new post there. And then there's a whole back catalog and all of that. Probably well over 100 posts now that describe the whole journey. And pretty much everything I've ever done is written about there, because teach everything you know.
Yeah. Got it. And ConvertKit. We can't leave out that you are the founder of ConvertKit. So if you are looking for an email service provider, check out ConvertKit. I definitely can highly attest to the product there. Okay. Last question, Nathan. What's your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
Yeah, that's a big question. It's pretty clear for me. It actually exists with a little plaque, or is represented by a little plaque that sits on the desk of every team member at ConvertKit. And it just simply says, we exist to help creators earn a living. And being able to earn a living as a creator completely changed my life. And so my mission and my why is to both educate and provide all the tools for other creators to be able to do the same thing. So that's why I do it. That's why I'm super excited to grow the company. And that's why our whole team is here. So
yeah, cool. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing. There's so much more we could have gotten into, but I think this is a really good start and going to give people some different ways of thinking about email and email courses. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey there. Thank you for listening to that great interview with Nathan. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something about how to make use of email. If you want to learn even more, Nathan and I got deeper into some practical tips on how to use email, especially if you don't have a list and you're just getting started. You can find that bonus segment over at get.zencourses.co/extra. Once again, that is get.zencourses.co/extra. You'll get a chance to opt in and you will get a link to the bonus segment that Nathan and I recorded, as well as the bonus segments to all of the previous episodes thus far for Level Up Your Course. All right, enough for me. Grab the bonus. All right, my friends, that is my time. Remember, before you can level up your course, you must first level up your mind. As always, thank you for hanging out with me for another great episode. I do not take it for granted. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been Level Up Your Course. Peace.